Hello and welcome to the Pig and Whistle Tales from Azeroth. As always here at the Pig and Whistle Inn in Stormwind, I go for a variety of subjects with regards to World of Warcraft, pick up a bottle or a pint, sit back and enjoy this midweek episode where we will be continuing with the PvP forum page that has been going on for a while and it still does have its relevance. With Season 4 kicking off, it's a good time to revisit it and see what people are sort of most upset about, what we need to improve as a community, what we need to improve from Blizzard's end, you know, multiple different things, and, you know, it all summarized in this post. So, if you haven't been following it already, we've talked about MMR achievements, you know, sort of the mounts, there's no incentive to play, learning, you know, the accessibility of it, like UI. We've gone through a lot at the moment, and there is still so much more. So this one's more community-based, though. So elitism and toxicity. This is a very difficult topic, and frankly, I have a very hard time putting it into words in a manner that is at least a little bit data-based, because there's very little data. You can only go off your kind of personal experiences, maybe, as ultimately it only comes down to the player's experience. Literally what I just said, I didn't even read that. Let's start with elitism. People are not wanting to play with other people who are seemingly below their level. This has been a large problem in the Looking for Group tool, as people always keep checking each other's experience, be it on PvP or PvE, and rightfully so. People do not want to lose rating or any sort of progress due to somebody else's incompetence, so to speak. However, in PvP's case specifically, this metric is greatly skewed by the aforementioned discrepancy, both bracket-wise and inter-seasonally. To put it into perspective, currently my rating is in 2v2 is at 2.2, which sets me to the duelist bracket quite safely. However, given the current circumstances, I am able to find people willing to play with me because they can see that I have 2.4 plus 6 times before and within a very close time period, with 5 of these times having been consecutive. These can be used, for example, in the Looking for Group tool when I'm searching for partners. I write 2.6 MM Hunter looking for heals, which constantly catches the eye of a healer looking for achievement elite in the given season. Contrastly, if I were to be 2.2 by some miracle at this time with the same win rate but without prior experience, it would classify me as a duelist, not an established multi-elite player, and would in turn deter many people looking to climb, which would further make it harder for me to learn new strategies and playstyles from more experienced players because they would expect hindering and underwhelming performance from me. Now, this is very much a community problem. In any sort of case, like PvP is going to be gatekeepy. Same with PvE. If you are 2k and there's someone who is 2.2k and, you know, you, let's say you're better than them. You're better than the 2.2k player. You've been higher than them in multiple seasons. You know, this is the highest that they've ever been. They're going to be a bit stingy with it. So when they see you sign up as 2k, they're going to be like, no, the risk is too great for me. Like, I can't take that risk because I'm at my peak right now. I can't. If people don't understand like what websites to use as well to check, then they won't get accurate information. But even if people do check everyone's like, oh, okay, they've only got one or two like elites in the past like 3 years, like, that's not good enough, but they're sat there with no elite, like, status almost. Then it's like, oh, well, what are you looking for then? You're looking for a multi-rank one player who can boost you. Yeah, I'm sure they're going to sign up to your group. Like, the likelihood of that is ridiculously slim. Like, and the thing is, people obviously have the right to choose who they want to group with. Maybe they just think that the, you know, the group composition isn't good enough. Maybe they think, I'm not too keen on playing with an MM Hunter, for this example, in this post. I prefer playing with just a warrior or a rogue or maybe even a caster, you know, that kind of deal. In which case, that's fair enough. That's their personal preference, and by all means, they can do it. But a lot of people don't communicate this in any sort of good way. If you get any sort of communication in the Looking for Group tool, it's probably about 90% negative. Now, I myself have set up Looking for Group tools and declined a lot of people. I get messages, and these messages are not friendly. They're like, what the fuck, you know, all of that stuff, and from there. I simply explain the reason. I either say, sorry, you're too low, or I say, it's not really a composition that I'm looking for. Sometimes they understand and they're like, fair enough. Other times I just get slated even more. And it's not fun, but I mean, it doesn't bother me. That's the same, like, you can't let it bother you. But Looking for Group tool is very, very outdated. It definitely needs an update. And it shows how outdated it is, because Dragonflight has been out for nearly a couple years now. And the evokers in PvP groups still don't have their own symbol. Yeah, they show as tank or a different, like, class. That's how outdated the Looking for Group tool is for PvP. It's crazy. It definitely can be more streamlined, the PvP sort of Looking for Group tool, and the Looking for Group tool in general. But I think that you should be allowed to group with players. If you go into a solo shuffle, you should be allowed to group with players that you feel like you can play with and want to try and play with, and you can give threes a go if people are wanting to do threes. You know, maybe add that sort of system where you can interact with people that way. Oh no, it just needs an update. I'm not sure how to go about it. I haven't put much thought into it, to be honest. But if I have an hour or two, I could probably come up with decent ways to maybe fix it and to help it out. It's good to get into groups quickly, depending on if you're a DPS or healer. The biggest problem is healers in Looking for Groups, because healers are obviously a lot more niche when it comes to numbers wise. So a healer that is around the same rating is going to get snapped up by a group very quickly. And in return, if one person, or if you lose one game with this healer, they will leave instantly and go and find another group, which is crazy, because it hinders the two people that were waiting already. And, you know, it's just a shitty thing to do. I was queuing with someone, so myself and another DPS player, and we got a healer. We played, I can't remember what the comp was. What our comp was, I should say. I think it was Boomy Mage. I think we were playing Boomy Mage. And we came up against the Cupid Cleave. Now, Cupid Cleave is very good. It is an actual decent composition. What Cupid Cleave is Hunter and Paladin. Because, you know, Hunters fire arrows and Paladin's class is just pink. You know what I mean. But Cupid Cleave is a very tough, like, matchup. And this was on Blackrook Hold as well. A very small map, congested map. Very tough to drag the healer out, which our composition relies on, so that we can get CC on the healer. Now, we were basically one setup away. I bashed the healer. I had Incarn up. My mage had all the damage on the healer, but I got scattered. And this healer lived with, like, 10%. I got scattered, had no trinket. Healer lived. And essentially, if I didn't get scattered or CC'd, we would have killed him. And then not 15 seconds later, I think our mage dies. And the healer starts to complain. The healer's like, yeah, this isn't going to work. We were nowhere near killing anything. Like, this felt awful. Firstly, we lost because of mana, because it's a druid healer. Secondly, he's not keeping an eye on his mana to look to drink when there were a couple of opportunities. And thirdly, we were very close to killing. Like, he's talking out of his arse and clearly isn't seeing the whole picture. So we explained to him very nicely that, okay, we were very close, essentially, and it is a tough composition on a tough map, and essentially it counters us, that composition. It really kind of does. So we explained to him, and we essentially get him to do another game. And in that next game, we kill them in the opener. We kill absolutely everything in the opener. It's overkill to the extreme. And then we just, yeah, like, it's crazy to think that people give up that quickly in the Looking for Group channel, because not every group just immediately clicks. It might take a few games, but eventually you might get on that win streak, or, you know, something along them lines, because that's what it takes. It takes a few games to understand people's play styles and what's happening and stuff like that, but people don't give it the time of day, and that's the problem with it. The problem with it is the mentality of the community rather than the actual Looking for Group tool itself. But you need to make it more streamlined for those who mentally aren't as strong and capable heading into that Looking for Group tool to utilize it, in my best way to explain that. Anyways, back to the post. Quickly before we do, actually, we did end up making that healer apologize for saying that we couldn't kill anything, because the next three games after the first one, we kind of just destroyed the next teams. Like, it wasn't even a contest, which was quite satisfying. I think that's the first time someone's apologized for, you know, essentially being wrong at the start of it, which is quite funny. Okay, but back to the post. And considering the extent of the game and the amount of years it has been working, there is always something to learn. However, the biggest instant difference in performance is performance will be noticeable where the common folk are, and people were being the median of the normal distribution curve. However, as stated before, the median is very volatile in a seasonally and does not put skill into perspective consistently. Unless the player has been performing a certain way over a large period of time, elitism on its own makes sense. What does not make sense is that the rewards provided for certain degrees of performances are not consistent with the achievements. And this could be fixed, for example, by aforementioned reintroduced of percentage-based achievements. Ultimately, the rewards should be obtained. That's what they are there for. What is the purpose of having a full set unlocked continually as your ranking or rating increases? If reaching 1.8 CR, which is required for the previous, has been reachable by a percentage of the players and has since decreased tenfold, arithmetically, this could be compared to replacing the... Oh my god. He has so many abbreviations and big words. Like, dude, just, it's a good post. Just make it simple. A mythic level fight in next season. Okay. So essentially the point is it should be percent based stuff, which I kind of agree with, because if you have 100 players and you're fifth out of them 100 players, you're top 5%, aren't you? If you have 5,000 players and if you have 1,000 players and you're top 50, you're top 5%. Yeah? 10,000 players and you're top 500, top 5%. So the way that it should work is percent based. Because if these 10 players, you have a 1,000 player, a 1,100 player, 1,200, going up to 3,000, and you end up at 2,300. You're in the top 7% of the game, but you don't get that elite title, which is ridiculous because you're in the top like percentile of the game. You are really good at the game still, and that's a bit of a kick in the balls, because I think Season 3 of Dragonflight ended with very few people getting the Gladiator mount. And I think very, very few people, if any, getting over 2,900 in threes. No, 3K, sorry. Like, there was barely anyone. So it was super deflated for no real reason. And I don't quite understand why they don't just go to a simple system where it's 0 to 5,000. It allows you to play throughout the entire season, stuff like that. It just makes no sense. As for toxicity in the game, a lot of people do get toxic, whether you lose or win or whatever. You might be doing something wrong, you make a small mistake, you die when you've got like an immunity or something. And the thing is, you don't die because you don't press the immunity, you die because you got hit from 40%, to 0% in one global because they hit you with two massive like attacks at the same time. That's one of them things where it's like, okay, GG, go next. Like, just forget about it and we move on. But the person in your looking for group might be like, why didn't you bubble there? What the fuck are you doing? You're trash. Like, get good. You know, you can't control that. And that's the shit part because it deters people from looking for group. If this is a new player jumping into PvP, it deters them from doing more PvP because it's like, well, I just get slated anyway. So what's the point? You know, it's really shit on their part and it shouldn't be a thing. I think that we as a community need to do better. And I think that's the biggest part of getting people introduced into the game, firstly, and then introduced into PvP or PvE or any sort of endgame content. We need to do better as a playing community, and that's just not even World of Warcraft. That's a lot of the gaming community as a whole now, in my honest opinion. It's a shit show for pretty much every single gaming community out there, I would have thought for, or at least a vast majority of the games out there. We need to do better as a community, and I'm hoping that, you know, we do. When a new expansion comes out, we do learn that it is just a game at the end of the day. You can still be competitive, but don't deter people from the game because it's ridiculous. Like, you want the game to be alive and thriving, but when you deter people and shout at people and get pissed off at people and call them slurs and all of that, it's going to turn them away, and then you like comment, oh my god, dead game, what the fuck, Blizzard. And it's not Blizzard's fault that it's a dead game, it's the community's fault because we actively drive them away as well. Like, the game can be shit and drive people away. Yeah, sure, people grow out of games, all of that. But we as a community aren't very welcoming sometimes, and that needs to change. It really, really does. But I will end it there for this episode. Thank you all very much for listening. Do check out all of the socials down below. Constant stuff is happening over there. Thank you all very much once again, and go with Valor, friend. Goodbye, all.